Okay, Deacon Sullivan.
Heavenly Father and Lord, we thank you for the first snow. Although maybe some of us weren't ready and don't embrace it, it is part of your cycle, Father. We thank you for allowing us to gather here today and praise you and worship you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Okay. We give thanks to thee, O Lord, we give thanks. We give thanks to thee, O Lord, we give thanks. For thy name is near, thy wondrous works men declare. We give thanks to thee, O Lord, we give thanks. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing, oh, I will sing. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. And with my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness, with my mouth shall I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. And I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. Come into His presence with thanksgiving in our hearts and give Him praise, and give Him praise. Come into His presence with thanksgiving in our hearts and give Him praise, and give Him praise. Give glory and honor and power to His name, Jesus, the name above all names. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord God, our Maker. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord God, our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, and the sheep of His hand, just the sheep of His hand. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord of the earth. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord of the earth. For our God is great and greatly to be praised. God is great and greatly to be praised. The Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the earth rejoice. Let the earth rejoice. Let the people be glad that our God reigns. A fire goes before him and burns up all his enemies. The hills melt like wax at the presence of the Lord. At the presence of the Lord. The Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the earth rejoice. Let the earth rejoice. Let the people be glad. Our God reigns. The heavens declare his righteousness. The people see his glory. For you, O Lord, are exalted over all the earth. Over all the earth. Our Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the earth rejoice. Let the earth rejoice. Let the people be glad. Our God reigns. Our God reigns. Yes, he does. Amen. Well, I know it's hard to believe, but this is the Sunday before Thanksgiving. So November 18th, 2018. It just boggles my mind to think that this is Thanksgiving week, that this Thursday is Thanksgiving. And of course, right after that, we look a month later down the road and it'll be Christmas, and be a little bit longer after that, it's New Year. And of course, now we have snow. Of course, we're not the only people in the country that have snow. They've had snow in various places. In Illinois and through the Midwest and so forth, and a lot of cold temperatures and whatever, so I guess it's looking like it should for this time of year. Well, in my quips and quotes that I like to bring you each week, put not your trust in rulers, nor any child of earth, for there is no help in them. Psalm 146. Thomas Jefferson said in 1823, laws are made for men of ordinary understanding and should therefore be construed by the ordinary rules of common sense. Their meaning is not to be sought for in metaphysical subtleties, which may make anything mean everything or nothing at pleasure. I feel like I have the cure for the malignancy of the soul, and he has a name, and it's Jesus. And I have to share when I am given the chance, because I want people to know the freedom they can have in him. Do you know in 1646, the Massachusetts Bay Colony passed a law making it a capital offense to deny that the Bible was the Word of God. Any person convicted of the offense was liable to the death penalty. That's how serious they took the Word of God then in Massachusetts Bay Colony. We know that's not happening now. Of course, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Saul, 1 Samuel 11, verses 6 through 7. And the Spirit of God came upon Saul when he heard these tidings, and his anger was so kindled greatly. The only answer to Satan is the Spirit of God, who works exclusively within the framework of the finished work of Christ, as it says in John chapter 14, verses 16 through 17. First of all, I urge that supplication, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. Oh yes, Lord, let it be. No mound of parchment can be so formed as to stand against the sweeping torrent of boundless ambition on one side, aided by the snapping and sapping current of corrupted morals on the other. George Washington, 1789. The English apologist C.S. Lewis wrote in a letter in 1952, "When I have learnt to love God better than my earthly dearest, I shall love my earthly dearest better than I do now. When first things are put first, second things are not suppressed but increased." That's interesting. "The strength to force the moment to its crisis." Yes. "We do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved." Hebrews 10:29. Do you know what a polymath is? That's a person who excels in many fields of endeavor. You know that evil is powerless if the good are unafraid. I'm not interested in armchair quarterbacking or political navel-gazing. Benjamin Franklin said, "The best thing to give your enemy is forgiveness, to an opponent, tolerance, to a friend, your heart, to your child, a good example, to a father, deference, to your mother, conduct that will make her proud of you, to yourself, respect, to all men, charity." I am commonly opposed to those who modestly assume the rank of champions of liberty and make a very patriotic noise about the people. Fisher Ames, 1789. And you know that the Lord can take trash and turn it into treasure? I can say that. He turned me from trash into treasure. I believe so. And by the way, you cannot bring a lion into your house and make him your pet. And of course, many people don't realize that. Patriotism is easy to understand in America. It means looking out for yourself by looking out for your country. President Calvin Coolidge. Cross the sword, the cross and the sword leads to engagement. Do you know what a solecism is? It's a grammatical mistake in speech or writing. Mistake, error, or blunder. More synonyms: informal howler, blooper, a poem marred by solecisms. Yeah. The English revivalist George Whitefield wrote in his journal, "We can preach the gospel of Christ no further than we have experienced the power of it in our own hearts." How true that is. And the Dutch Anabaptist and leader, reformer Menno Simons in 1558 said in a letter, "We ought not to dread death so. It is but to cease from sin and to enter into a better life." How true is that? No national defense. National defense is one of the cardinal duties of a statesman. We need to remind these elected officials of that. And here is from John Greenleaf Whittier, "The Mayflowers." "The pilgrim's wild and wintry day, its shadow round us draws, the Mayflower of his stormy bay, our freedom's struggling cause. But warmer suns ere long shall bring to life the frozen sod, and through dead leaves of hope shall spring afresh the flowers of God." And do you know that cultural Marxism in America is erasing our pilgrim legacy? "The foolish person seeks happiness in the distance. The wise grow it under their feet." And of course, you are familiar with the song, "My country 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride, from every mountainside, let freedom ring." So Thanksgiving is not only a time to express gratefulness to God for his provision, but also a time to teach children about our America's true heritage. Public acknowledgments of the providence of God have been part of the history and traditions of this nation, from the pilgrims to the founding era to the Civil War and today, and teachers are uniquely situated to teach the true meaning of Thanksgiving. In fact, George Washington's Thanksgiving Proclamation reveals important information about the meaning of the First Amendment. in the first proclamation after Plymouth, Governor Bradford of Massachusetts made this first Thanksgiving proclamation 3 years after the Pilgrims settled at Plymouth. Inasmuch as the Great Father has given us this year an abundant harvest of Indian corn, wheat, peas, beans, squashes, and garden vegetables, and has made the forest to abound with game and the sea with fish and clams, and as much as he has protected us from the ravages of savages, has spared us from pestilence and disease, has granted us freedom to worship God according to the dictates of our own conscience. Now I, your magistrate, do proclaim that all ye pilgrims, with ye wives and ye little ones, do gather at ye meeting house on ye hill between the hours of 9 and 12 in the daytime on Thursday, November 29th of the year of our Lord 1623, and third year since the pilgrims landed on ye Plymouth Rock, there to listen to your pastor and render thanksgiving to ye Almighty God for all his blessings, William Bradford, ye governor of ye colony. Say that again.
When do they stop saying that ye?
That's old English.
Yeah, just old English. I mean, some places they actually still do say things like that. In ye name of God, amen. I'm not going to take the time to read this whole thing, but I have the will of Elizabeth Tilly Howland, who I'm descended of, dated the 17th of December, 1686, at Swansea, Massachusetts, and she starts off by saying, "In ye name of God, amen. I, Elizabeth Howland of Swansea, in ye county of Bristol, in ye colony of Plymouth, in New England, being 79 years of age, but of good and perfect memory, thanks be to Almighty God, and calling to remembrance ye uncertain estate of this transitory life, and that all flesh must yield unto death, when it shall please God to call and do make constitute and ordain and declare this my last will and testament in a manner and form, following, revoking, and annulling by these presents all and every testament." I won't read the whole thing, but it's quite an interesting document, to say the least of it. And of course, she finishes off with talking about the day of general resurrection shall rise with joy, and through your merits of Christ's death and passion, possess and inherit ye kingdom of heaven prepared for his elect and chosen. Yeah, that's good. Okay, now we might like to take a look at a couple of other things about Thanksgiving, and then we'll look at some scriptures. And of course, in honor of the pilgrims, those separatists, I want to read from the Geneva Bible, the one that they brought with them on the Mayflower. Yes. Okay. The days of Thanksgiving worth remembering. Pilgrims fled England because of religious persecution. And of course they found in Leiden and Holland a place where they were not persecuted for their religious beliefs. It was quite open to everything, really. And eventually, of course, they wanted to leave there because their children were being corrupted by an immoral society there in Holland. And so they decided they needed to leave and come to America. Well, let's look, or what we now call America, let's look at some scriptures. If you will turn in your Bibles, I'm going to read the first group of scriptures, and I'm going to read it from the Geneva Bible, from Psalm 100, verses 1 through 5. And Mrs. Lear, Kathy Lear, would you please read 1 Thessalonians 5:18 and Philippians 4:6? Okay, you can write that down. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 and Philippians 4:6. And then, Rich, if you would read Psalm 7:17 and Ephesians 5:20. And then, Sean, I want you to read Psalm 107, verse 1, Hebrews 13 to 15, and Colossians 3:15.
Psalm 107, verse 1, Ephesians.
Psalm 107, verse 1, yeah. Hebrews 13, verse 15, and Colossians 3, verse 15.
And again, you asked me Psalm 7:17 and what else? I'm sorry.
Ephesians 5:20.
Well, Psalms 107 verse 1, Hebrews chapter 15 verse 15, and Colossians chapter 3 verse 15.
Yes. Okay, so I'm going to read from the Geneva Bible here. Psalm 100, beginning at verse 1. Sing ye loud unto the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness, and come before him with joyfulness. Know ye that even the Lord is God. He hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with praise, and into his courts with rejoicing. Praise him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth is from generation to generation.
First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18 from the English Standard Version. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 from the English Standard Version. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God.
I'm reading from Psalm 7, verse 17 from the English Standard Version. I will give to the Lord the thanks due to his righteousness, and I will sing praises to the name of the Lord the Most High. And then Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20 from the English Standard Version. Giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Reading from the English Standard Version, Psalms chapter 107, verses 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Probably should have found the pages for it. The New Testament?
Yeah.
Yes.
Hebrews, James. Hebrew, James, Peter, John.
Chapter 13, verse 15.
There you go.
Through him let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. And Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful. That's from the English Standard Version.
Okay, great. Well, in the passage of scripture that I read from Psalm 100, at verse 4, the English Standard Version of the King James says, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving, go into his courts with praise," where in the Geneva Bible, it says, "Enter into his gates with praise and into his courts with rejoicing, praise him and bless his name." So it's a little bit different, but basically where you see that there, it means thanksgiving, same original manuscript language. So how they translated it this way, I can't quite understand, but means basically the same thing in those scriptures we have read. And the question I have for us today, a simple question: what are you thankful for? What are you thankful for? And of course, we know that there are people in this country right now, like in California. I doubt very much that many of the people in Paradise, California, Malibu, California, and some other places, Chino and other places like that, are going to be celebrating Thanksgiving this year. Except by saying they're thankful to still be alive. Many of them have lost their homes and whatever else. But of course, when we think about that devastation there in California, and of course, Florida has problems and different things that are going on the border of Arizona and Texas and things going on, you'd say, well, what's there to be thankful for? I suppose if you were one of the survivors of the firestorms there in California, you could say, well, I'm thankful that I'm still alive. Or as we had read earlier in my quips and quotes, why would anyone fear death when death is the end of sin in life and the beginning of eternal life? And that's a much better place for us than what we've got here, because there's always something. For the early pilgrims, who were of course also known as separatists. And why were they known as separatists?
They separated from the British rule.
They separated from the British, the English church, really, at that point in time. And of course, they still were under a covenant when they came here, or a compact. They signed the Mayflower Compact. They thought they were actually going to Northern Virginia, and under the Jamestown Colony patent, which would have been Poughkeepsie, New York, or the Hudson River Valley, or something like that, and they were blown off course. And of course, we look at that and say, okay, was that accidental? No, the Lord knows. So he blew them off of course, and they ended up in Provincetown Harbor. And of course, they said, we're outside of any legal jurisdiction, we need to start our own. So the Mayflower Compact, as it's called, which is a very simple document signed by those passengers, all the male passengers, was basically because they said, okay, we're the civil body politic, we're the government here now. And they made a compact, or they made a covenant. And of course, the idea of covenant theology, which a lot of people don't understand, or a compact, in other words, an agreement or a contract, was the way that they operated. And of course, that was very important. One of the things that's mentioned that I like to mention is today that cultural Marxism in this country is doing away with the pilgrim idea and the Puritan or the separatist idea being separated from things that are not holy and being separated from things that are wrong. And of course, as we read about the Massachusetts Bay Colony later, 1646, so only 26 years past the Plymouth Colony, it became a capital offense to not believe the Bible or speak against the Bible. When today, of course, all you got to do to get in trouble is quote the Bible concerning abortion, or quote the Bible concerning homosexuality, or quote the Bible concerning death or death penalty or any of those kind of things like that, and you're obviously a bad person, you're going to be sanctioned for that. But of course, The Lord wants us to tell the truth as best as we know it and to understand it, and truth is important. And we don't get a lot of that through the news media. We get faux media, what I call faux media. The word faux in French means false. And false media gives false history. So the things we're studying here about the pilgrims or the separatists, and then later, the Great Migration of 1638, where the same group of people basically came a little later date, and they were called Puritans. And of course today, I mean, everyone thinks, use the word Puritan as a disparaging remark. If you're a Puritan, that means you're like, you know, somebody that doesn't really like life or is dismal and only wants to wear black clothes or something like that, and wants to punish people for immorality and so forth and so on. They get a very wrong, skewed vision or idea of the Puritans and what they believed and the pilgrims and what they believed. And of course, one of the things I like to mention was at the time, and there were some very prominent people that helped the pilgrims there. One of them was Samoset, an Indian, and of course Squanto, that the Lord made a special provision out of them to be able to help them. But the Narragansett Indian tribe was trying to wipe out the Wampanoags and other Indian tribes around there. And of course they were interested in wiping out the settlers too, the pilgrims. And of course the pilgrims lost a lot of the people. In fact, in the first year there were 106 people that came over in the Mayflower, and then within no time quite a number of them had died, and they had to be buried at nighttime because they were being watched by the Narragansett Indians, who were ready to attack at any time. And one of the things that was interesting was there was a peace treaty between the pilgrims there in Plymouth and Massasoit, who Massasoit, of course, was the ruling chief of the Wampanoags. And he was on his deathbed, very sick. And Elder Brewster went over and to bring him herbs and whatever and pray for him. And Massasoit became better, sat up in his bed, and he said, "By this I know that you love me." By the expression, and they actually had a 50-year peace treaty, which was not broken by the pilgrims, was broken by Massasoit's grandson, or maybe it was a son, they called King Philip. And so an interesting relationship that they had. Of course, pilgrim leader Edward Winslow wrote, "Our harvest being gotten in, our governor sent four men on fowling, so that we might, after a special manner, rejoice together after we had gathered the fruit of our labors." They, four in one day, killed as much fowl, and with a little help besides, served the company almost a week. So that was really something. Pilgrim Governor William Bradford described the autumn of 1621. He said, "Besides waterfowl, there was great store of wild turkeys, of which they took many, besides venison, etc. Besides, they had about a peck a meal a week to a person, or now, since harvest, Indian corn to that proportion." And of course, I had mentioned the help that they had been given by certain Indians like Squanto. I want to read a little bit about what Squanto did, and of course teaching them how to plant crops and how to plant what we call Indian corn, which is a funny aside here in town in Wakefield. Two little bear cubs were up on somebody's front porch that had put out Indian corn like they do at Thanksgiving time for decoration. You know, it's the colorful looking corn, not just yellow corn, but all the different colors. And the two little bear cubs were up on up on the porch of the person's house eating the corn, eating the Indian corn. As far as they're concerned, the animals are being very aggressive around here lately. Moose coming up and stomping people's pumpkins and eating them, and bears coming and getting whatever they can get a hold of course. I guess they feel like whatever we've got in front of our houses, it belongs to them, right? Because after all, it's their territory we live in, right? So that's pretty much the situation there. First presidential day of Thanksgiving, George Washington, October 3rd, 1789, where it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor. And I do want to mention briefly that the scriptures that we have read tell us how the Lord wants to be worshipped. I mean, people can say, well, this is how we worship the Lord. Well, the thing is, how we worship the Lord is stated in His Word, how He wants us to worship Him. And it obviously behooves us to worship the Lord the way the Lord has asked us to worship Him. And of course, reading the many different declarations of presidents over the years on Thanksgiving, I remember it was very disparaging. One year I watched Barack Obama say that the early pilgrims, when they had their Thanksgiving, they were giving thanks to the Indians. Now, that's not true. The Thanksgiving was giving thanks to the Lord for His provision, and they were thankful to the Indians that helped them, obviously, but they weren't giving thanks to the Indians, they were giving thanks to the Lord. So he didn't have that straight, and I can say that's easy to find out because you read the proclamations that were given and what they were saying. It's actually, we talked about Samoset, about the 16th of March, a certain Indian, and this was recorded in Governor William Bradford, and my great aunt by marriage was Lillian Bradford. She was a descendant of Governor Bradford. And he wrote in his book of Plymouth Plantation, which is quite a book, about the 16th of March, a certain Indian came boldly amongst us and spoke to them in broken English. His name was Samoset. He told them also of another Indian whose name was Squanto, a native of this place, who had been in England and could speak English better than he himself. So Samoset's initial visit to the pilgrims was recorded in Mort's Relation, written by Edward Winslow and Governor William Bradford in 1622. Friday the 16th, a fair warm day towards this morning, we determined to conclude of the military orders, which we had begun to consider or before, but were interrupted by the savages. As we mentioned formerly, and whilst we were busied hereabout, we were interrupted again, for these presented himself a savage, which caused an alarm. He very boldly came all alone and along the houses straight to the rendezvous, where we intercepted him, not suffering him to go in, as undoubtedly he would, out of his boldness. He saluted us in English and bade us welcome, for he had learned some broken English among the Englishmen that came to fish at Monchiquin, and knew by name the most of the captains, commanders, and masters that usually come. He was a man free in speech, so far as he could express his mind, and of a seemly carriage. And we questioned him of many things. He was the first savage we could meet withal. He said he was not of these parts, but of the Morategan, and one of the Sagamores of the Lords thereof, and had been 8 months in these parts, it lying hence a day's sail from a great wind, and 5 days by land. I'm not going to read all of it. He asked for some beer. We gave him strong water and biscuit and butter and cheese and pudding and a piece of mallard, all of which he liked well and had been acquainted with such amongst the English. Samoset told us the place where he now lives is called Patuxet, and that about 4 years ago all inhabitants died of an extraordinary plague. There was neither man, woman, or child remaining. Of course, I bring that out because a lot of people have said, okay, we invaded the New World and we took over the Indians' land, but the truth of the matter was there weren't any Indians living there. They had died off, you know, in Patuxet. And Patuxet was an Indian tribe too. So the next day we went away back to Massasoits, from whence he said he came, who are our next bordering neighbors. They are 60 strong, and he said the Nauvsets, that's the Narragansett, are near southeast of him and are 100 strong, and those were they of whom our people were encountered as before related. And of course, they were the ones who were also killing off other Indians, the Narragansett. So these names you will recognize around here, Narragansett Bay and Natick, the Natick Indians, and so forth and so on. Governor Bradford wrote that a few days later, Tisquantum, or Squanto, arrived with the neighboring Wampanoag chief, Massasoit. Massasoit, who about 4 or 5 days earlier came with chief of his friends and other attendants, and with Squanto. Of course, in Plymouth, you will see the statue of Massasoit. Whether he actually looked that way or not, I'm not sure. It's right up on the top of the hill overlooking Plymouth Rock. And, I mean, he's talking about a fine figure of man, really ripped, muscular, and so forth and so on. So I imagine he probably was in pretty good shape from the work that they did. They showed him showed them that in the middle of April plenty of fish would come up the brook by which they had begun to build, and taught them how to catch it and where to get other necessary provisions, all of which they found true by experience. And of course Squanto showed them in good stead, showing them how to plant it, planting the corn and using fish heads for fertilizer. So they learned a lot of things from him. Of course, there was a man among them, who had ever seen a beaver skin till they came out and were instructed by Squanto. So basically, as we read on about them, the main thing I want to mention to you is that they believed that Squanto was basically a gift of God to them, that they learned so much from him, and he really helped them so much. So as we're thinking about what we're thankful for this year for Thanksgiving, we can say we're very thankful for the history of this country, the good Christian people founded it, and we who are descended of them, either by blood or by beliefs. I believe that we need to teach our children these things and teach other people, even though these days it doesn't seem to be very acceptable to do this. And eventually Squanto died. He fell ill of Indian fever, bleeding much of the nose, which the Indians take for a symptom of death, and within a few days he died. He begged the governor to pray for him that he might go to Englishman's God in heaven and bequeath several of his things to some of his English friends as remembrance. His death was a great loss. Squanto was a special instrument sent of God for their good beyond their expectation. Okay, well, that's just a brief thumbnail sketch for us today of what Thanksgiving is about, what it should be about. And though most people, just like we talk about different celebrations that have turned in a direction that doesn't make any sense to us, we can change that by doing the right thing ourselves and knowing what we're about. I remember hearing from a friend that she likes to have people come for Thanksgiving, and they take a tablecloth and they write on the tablecloth what they're thankful for. And of course, for years, I did with my family, the kids growing up, we'd have 4 kernels of corn and put them on the plate and say, okay, what are you going to do with these kernels of corn? You know, you're hungry, you're going to eat them, or what are you going to do with them? And of course, I'd say you could eat them and it wouldn't mean much, but then if you take those 4 kernels of corn and plant them, you'll have quite a harvest. Another thing I want to mention is that in the beginning, you know, a lot of the people that came over, I mean, were enterprising, and some of them young men without families. And when it came down to it, when it's cold and they didn't want to go out and work and plant the harvest, and they weren't getting much. And so the idea of they experimented, if you will, with a type of communism and found it didn't work. But after they assigned plots of land to everybody and said, okay, your failure to plant means in winter when you're hungry, we're not obligated to feed you. And with that happening, everybody got out and planted their own land, and within no time at all, they got quite a bumper crop of corn and whatever else, and of course they had other things too, and they were able to pay back their loan for the first 3 years they were in debt to the company that sent them over there and paid for them to get over there, and they were in debt and they were behind in their debt. But in the fourth year, they made enough to pay their debt off. So you can see that communism, they found out communism doesn't work. Let's pray, and let's remember today in particular to be praying for those people that are having such a difficult time out in California. We have no idea how many people have died, but lots of people have died and lost their homes, and pretty sad situation there. And we pray that this be a wonderful Thanksgiving. We pray for the peace of America, as we do pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And we thank you, Lord, that you've taught us how to worship you. And that we enter your presence not with grumbling, but with thanksgiving. And we thank you for that you have provided for us. And we praise you and we thank you, Jesus, in protecting our president, our vice president, and they're traveling around and going to see things. We know there are a lot of people that are angry. A lot of people are saying things about harming others. So we just pray protection over those that are our leaders and protection over ourselves and our homes too. And this we pray as always, in the name of our risen Savior, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.